film strewn his devil's leg hoodie, jogging like he was boxing with his rock.
But you know why Brandon is playing the Eye of the Tiger.
He just stole your thunder.
In the state of Georgia?
Augusta National, pal. Come on, Brian, play it loud, pal. Brandon. Tiger Woods won the Masters for the fifth time, I think it is, right? At the age of 43. I think the last time he won a major was like 12 or 13 years ago. He's gone through all of his crap, major back surgery, and he's back. And I tell you what, I bet a friend of mine, 30-1, that he wouldn't win a major in the next 3 years, and I put $10 down.
Good for you, Stu.
No, that's the good news. The bad news is I forget who I bet with. And that's a true story. I have no idea. They'll be honest.
They'll come out with it.
No, I'm sure they will. They all will, yeah.
Hey, but it's Sunday, and welcome everyone who's just tuning into the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country. Nicole and I actually went out to a place for like a late breakfast, and we were watching it on one of the TV screens.
Yeah.
And it was pretty amazing while we were waiting to get seated. And there was just a crowd. It was her and I, then a couple more people, then a couple more people. So when Tiger was on 18, and I know we usually don't talk about golf, but
why not? It's outdoors. This is the outdoors. Four outdoorsmen. Go ahead.
Hunting and fishing. But
no, it isn't.
With that, it was pretty amazing just to see all the people coming around to just see Tiger on 18.
Yeah.
And then to see his excitement when he won it. And his kids were there. His mother was there. His new girlfriend was
there. He's got
there.
A new girlfriend?
He does have a new girlfriend. I know Lindsay. I even Wikipedia'd it. He's been dating her since 2017. And go figure, she managed one of the restaurants that he owned. But they've been dating for like 2 years. But what an amazing comeback story.
I thought he just broke up with Lindsay Vonn.
Well, it said like longtime girlfriend a week
ago. A couple of years ago. I don't know what it was. Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, everyone knows that I enjoy golf as much as I do fishing and hunting and whatnot. But if it, and I realize how I respect the game, I love the game, I realize how difficult it is. And for a man to accomplish that after all he's gone through, there's so much competition. Every one of these guys can shoot darts to the point now where Augusta National is almost not even a factor anymore, because these guys are teeing off and hitting the ball 320 yards down the middle in par fives or 7-8 irons into the green. The game of golf has to change. But I tell you, if you've never really gotten serious about the game, you have no idea what kind of emotion is involved. It is a very, very difficult game. What he did is going to be the top story of sports in 2019. You watch.
Wow.
Until the Twins win the World Series.
So, Drew, he's 43. How old do people golf on the regular tour? That's not
before
that old.
They go to the seniors.
Jack Nicklaus won the Masters when he was 46 years old, I think. So he was the second oldest person ever to win the Masters. He's won five of them. Jack Nicklaus has 17 majors. Tiger has four. He has 15 now. He's got a chance.
All right.
He's as good as they come.
Questions, Drew.
Yes, sir. Yes,
well,
sir.
More of a statement than a question. So to golf on Augusta, it's invite only, right? I mean, it's not open to the public.
They got about 200 members. That's about it. They play 3 months a year. Yeah, you're correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say Strew got an invite to golf on Augusta,
mm-hmm.
but it would be $1,000.
I would pay $5,000 to play a round of golf at Augusta.
Wow.
Wow.
That's saying a lot.
That's a lot for you.
I would do that. That's a one-time deal.
Yeah.
It's either that or take my wife to someplace in Mexico for a week. One of those two.
Wow.
No. But I would easily pay a couple of grand to play one round of golf at Augusta.
Yeah?
Easily.
Yeah. I've
been there down. I went down. My wife and I went to the 2003 Masters when Mike Weir from Canada won in extra holes, and it was one of the neatest experiences of my life. One of the top 10 things that we've ever done. So it was, it's a pretty special place.
Well, we got an exciting show for folks that are jumping on the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country tonight. First up at around 6:20, we have Ken Yang. He was an anti-hunter, and now he's been converted into being an activist in hunting, running camps and stuff like that. That's going to be interesting. And then at 6:40, if you're on social media at all, you know all about the Rainy River this time of year. It's very popular for saugers and walleyes and big sturgeon. We're going to have friend of the show, John Savant, on there with some experience with that. But first, Drew, you talked about where you would take your wife. I took my wife somewhere special on a date today.
Would you have paid $2,000 to take your wife someplace like you did tonight?
I don't know if I would have paid $2,000, but it was a $2,000 experience.
Ooh,
because
good answer.
I snuck Nicole, she had no idea, to a place called Flannel Jack's.
Oh, that's romantic. That's
Flannel
what I, that's where I want to take my wife when I want to really impress her.
Yeah,
go
yeah,
to Flannel
kind of be
Jack's,
like,
yeah,
you know, a big lumberjack. But
yeah,
it's actually an axe throwing event. You guys have heard of axe throwing, haven't you?
Absolutely.
And so we went down there. We had a great guy, Joe. We checked in, and you rent this place by not – they have like 14 what they call lanes, and you get a kind of a guide with you that watches over what you do, and they basically show you how to throw an axe, which from the handle to the top of the axe is maybe
14 inches.
2 feet maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And they walk you through on how to do it. There's a whole process on how you should throw this axe, and it is just a blast because it's not just throwing it at like this dartboard made of wood. There's different games you can play. So you can play up to who gets to 30 first. You can play a game called Timber, which is you both get 5 throws, the highest score then gets T. You can play tic-tac-toe around the world, which is just hitting different parts of it, just kind of like darts. And it's an absolute hoot. We spent an hour there, and I was exhausted kind of by the end because, as you can tell, Nicole and I get a little competitive, right?
Yes.
And I was telling Joe, you know, I was like, we're going to be kind of competitive. He's like, oh, I've had it. Like halfway through, he's like, yeah, you're one of the most competitive couples we ever had. But we played the game of up to 31st at Flannel Jack's. And
could you bring a photograph of your ex-spouse or something and post it up there for a good target?
You know what? I did not ask him that. It's true. Or, yeah, you could do something like that, I guess. I bet you could. But real fun environment. Flannel Jack's down there in St. Paul. Thanks for having us. I tell you what, we're going to have to do a 4 outdoorsman trip out there. Because
well, I've another question. My wife and I can't go anyplace without having a cocktail. I'm not going to go shoot even throw an axe if I can't have a cocktail. Do they serve booze there?
Yes, they do.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you can throw an axe and drink.
That's what's wrong with that picture?
You know what? I think they probably moderate it a little bit too, Stru, because Joe is right there with you every step of the way to make sure you don't cross the line, especially if the other person's.
And
about
how did
to
you
throw.
Do? How did you and Nicole do?
3-2, boomer. I won the first game up to 30. Then I won the next game of around the world. Then she came back and kicked my butt in around the world. And then we played another game, which is called 21, which you try to get, you get 10 throws and you have to get exactly 21 or the closest to 21. And she buried me in that last
one. Was it difficult to learn the revolutions and how to get the pace?
Not really. As long as you listen, if you think you know more than the person that works.
So Nicole could not get this.
Well, she kept breaking her wrist at first. You got to keep your wrist stiff. And when you keep your wrist stiff and you bring it all the way back, you know, you can have that habit of breaking them back over you. Maybe like golf.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense.
You know what I
mean?
Like, yeah. And so it took her a little bit to get dialed into that. But once she got dialed into it, she figured it out.
Sounds like fun.
How many times does it not stick and just fall on the ground?
Well, I got very fortunate because for some reason I got into a pattern on the bullseye. And when that axe continually hits the same spot, let's say in like a 2 to 3 inch radius, you can bury the wood pretty bad so it won't stick. But with that being said, I would say 70% of the time, if you listen to them, you're going to get the axe to stick.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's the name of the place?
Flannel Jack's.
And they're going to be one of our sponsors in the near future?
Well, I hope so. I told them, you know, it's something to think about. In fact, Brandon and I were talking about it. I think Brandon's going to be calling on those folks pretty soon, eh?
Oh, yeah, we'll be talking.
No. Wait for us, pal.
I like it. The name makes me want pancakes.
Yeah.
Eat pancakes with your axe before you go throw
so
the axe at the
target. Besides doing Flannel Jack's, throwing some axes, shoveling some snow this week, going through some tackle, I'm ready for the open water. I'm ready for Mike and Allie's tournament, the Memories Made Guide Service coming up on April 27th, which I think that's sold out now. Huh?
Yeah. Mike came by. Ron Sierra Productions donated a couple cases of shells for him to auction off, and when he came by, he said, yeah, after our show, a couple of people called in, and it's all filled, so that's great.
Well, that'd be fun, and then after that, we got the Ron Chair Crappie Contest, which they're giving away on a Lumacraft Crappie Deluxe with an Evinrude motor on it and a trailer. That'll be May 4th.
Yep.
And then the weekend after that will be Governor's Opener. And then after that, you and us three are going to be sneaking up to Heath's Resort to go take advantage of some of the hot walleye bite that happens there in late May. And then after that, we got Minnesota Teen Challenge. And then the summer just keeps on rolling.
Yeah,
buddy.
And then we have the Minnesota Wild Tournament. It's crazy.
Jason, Jason's going to be gone.
Is he?
Zucker? Jason is a top dog. He is really, really good trade bait, and he's a very, very good player. He's one of our best. He knows it. But they might be rebuilding, and Jason might be a man that they're going to get rid of because they can get a lot for Zucker right now.
I tell you what, I had a blast fishing with Bruce from Alumacraft and Zucker, and luckily we got him his first smallmouth ever, and he caught a couple of them. He is a very humble, family, down-to-earth person. And so I'm really hoping selfishly that Zucker sticks with the Wild because he's even so great that when I butt dial him, when Mark and I are trying to get the boat in at Izades, he'll respond back just to make sure we're okay.
Well, there's a lot of players that got traded and still live in the area and come back to play that. So even if he does get traded, maybe he'll still be there.
You wonder why?
Twins.
You want to hang on a second. We'll go to the Twins. I'm excited about the Twins, 8-4. They won again 6-4, I think it was. But you wonder how long a guy like Zach Parise would want to hang in there. I know he's got a contract. I don't know how many years. It was the same thing like Justin Morneau and
he's got 2 years left.
Yeah, okay. They signed these guys to wait too many contracts. But he's all busted up. He had a great year. He's all busted. How many more years do you want to do this? You have to prove nothing to nobody.
But it can be,
and you can still walk.
His style of play too. I mean, Parise gives it all when he's out there, and he's not afraid to rough it up and tough it up. And so that's the abuse of the game sometimes.
Go ahead, Mark.
I heard Parise on another radio station, and it was cool that they were talking about basketball players and how they always want to be traded to a winning team. And he said that he never really understood that. It's up to the players to make the team a winning team. So at least we know he won't jump ship just to go to a better franchise.
You guys are way too young to know that his old man played for the Minnesota North Stars 25
years
ago.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Yep.
And J.P. Parise, and he was a tough guy as well. But good for the family and good for him. And I'm telling you, your health is more important than anything. But I hope he plays a couple more years, hangs on to his contract, and makes us a winner because the Wild they're in trouble right now.
Yeah, producer Mark, good week.
Yeah, good week. I'm just kind of prepping for everything coming up. You know, it's going to be a busy, busy spring. I haven't been fishing in a long time, and I can't wait to get out there.
Yeah, you know I'm definitely feeling that itch.
While I got everyone here, go to the Four Outdoorsmen, give us a shout out. If you want us to mention you on air, and go to our Facebook page, and we have the Minnesota Teen Challenge tournament coming up, and we're really trying hard to earn some money. So if you got a couple bucks you want to throw towards a great cause, please donate to our fishing team.
Yeah, we're going to have to still figure out our strategy. I finally figured out a couple walleye spots that produce early in the morning. And what we're going to do, if we're going to go for the walleyes right away, then maybe.
You know what I think? I think what we have done in the past is we get into a mess of smallmouth, and of largemouth bass, and it's a lot of fun. And we spend most of the day pitching for largemouth. I think what we got to do is run crankbaits a little bit deeper. And it seems like everyone that wins that tournament is constantly moving and working the crankbaits.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Last year, Sophia and I finished in the top 20%. And one of the things we did is we found some ledges that broke off, you know, some drop-offs, and we were throwing crankbaits in the shallows over them, and not just normal crankbaits, but jerkbaits. Mm-hmm. And then also pitching a jig with a grub, and that worked really well too. So a little bigger bass in that slew of area, because we have that one little bay we like to go where we just throw wacky worms. And I swear that one day we caught like 70 largemouth
fish. Yeah,
it's
so much fun, and we catch a lot of fish, but
Is this Teen Challenge?
Yeah,
talking
on Gull
about,
Lake.
Right?
Gull Lake.
Is there anything? This is not a real. There's no serious fundraising tournaments out there. This is a lot of fun. You raise a lot of money for Teen Challenge. Good for you guys. Is there anything wrong with having me just come along and have fun with you guys and not fish?
No.
Could I do that? Could I sit in your boat and have fun?
I don't know if you can be in the boat technically, because I tried to do that one year to have Sophia in the boat with Mark and I. I just asked if they could do that. And they wouldn't allow us to do that because I think in one of the earlier years, Strew, they let someone do that as a family. And then, gosh, we're there for fun. Yeah, it's competitive. And some people complain. So
you want to treat me like Weekend and Bernie's, just drag me behind the goddamn boat, right?
Well, you know what? We'll just put you in a tube behind the boat.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a story for you. Poaching. We know poaching, of course, we're all against poaching. But this, I don't think this could happen in Minnesota, but this is kind of interesting. This happened in...
Does it involve people dressing as Sasquatch?
No. That was last week. Johannesburg, this true story. A rhinoceros poacher was stomped to death by an elephant and eaten by lions in South Africa. And rangers just found his skull and trousers, authorities said. The man and two other guys were poaching, and the hunter's companions dragged his body to a nearest road someplace, bailed out, and 2 days later they found the remains. All they found were his skull and his trousers because the elephant took him down and the lions ate him.
I can't imagine a body would last too long in Africa.
That's taking care of poachers. Yeah, we can't quite do that in Minnesota, but that's taking care of poachers.
Know. Get stopped by a moose.
Could happen, and then he get
what if the moose had a collar?
Yeah, that's true. Put on him.
Yeah.
In a helicopter.
That's a good story.
Hey, turkey season. I got a shout out to Thane Jensen and his dad, Mike Jensen. They are out in the Black Hills with Craig Euler, friend of the show. And they scored themselves a couple Black Hills Merriam turkeys. So hopefully, I know it's going to be Easter Sunday. We'll have Thane in studio next Sunday to talk about that
adventure. That's confirmed.
Yeah. He doesn't have very good reception where they're at. So we just got to make sure, because I didn't realize it was Easter. And so I just got to confirm that with them and make sure he knew it was
cool. Go ahead, Mark.
Do we have time for shout outs?
We do.
Okay. Let's do it.
We got a couple shout outs here. Our friend Corey says, end of the ice season, fish fry with friends. Recap of the ice season to come on the What's Working Now Facebook page. Our good buddy John Marshall helped the Cambridge Isanti student angler bag groceries today to raise money for the club. Thanks again, Boomer and Nicole. You guys spoke at an event last week, I believe.
Yeah, we spoke at Cambridge High School. I think we talked about that a little bit.
Yes, we did.
Show,
yeah,
we?
Good for you, buddy.
Bill Katz is cleaning out the lodge for summer camping, listening to the boys. Thank you very much, Bill. And Jeremiah Davis says, hanging with Tackle Terry too yesterday. That's always a great guy to hang
out
with.
We got to get him on. Terry Tuma, right?
Yeah, Terry Tuma, Hall of Famer. You know, Terry Tuma, a little story about that. We all talk about the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show when December comes around because it's like the world's largest ice fishing show, and I know we got to get to break here to have the anti-hunter converted into pro-activist hunter. But Tackle Terry Tuma and Dave Gens were the two masterminds behind the St. Paul Ice Show how many years ago? 20, 30 years ago.
Cool.
Isn't that crazy?
Let's get to Kenny. Let's get Kenny Yang right after the break, huh?
All right, let's get him. Let's hear that music, Brandon. Oh, I thought it was going to be
Eye with the Four Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Let's start thinking about open water, flip-flops, and sunshine. Boomer here, and my family and I have been fishing with Alumacraft boats for the past 6 years. Alumacraft boats cover the complete spectrum of fishability, whether we're catching walleyes, hooking panfish, or chasing bass. A best-in-class dry ride with Alumacraft's 2XB haul and lots of storage are just a couple of the reasons why we choose Alumacraft. To learn more about Alumacraft, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you. Finally, an online tackle shop built for you. OmniaFishing.com. Boomer here, and how about this? Headed to a new lake or an old favorite? With OmniaFishing.com, you simply pick your lake, the species of fish you want to catch, and OmniaFishing.com tells you the hottest lures that are working now. And it's not just Omnia Fishing's opinion, it's the local guides and pros that help with selecting the tackle for each lake. With thousands of lakes to select in Minnesota, OmniaFishing.com has you covered.
Come to Delano Lanes and Entertainment on Highway 12, just 20 minutes west of 494. Bowling with great daily specials. Start the week on a high note. How about the Monday Mystery Beer Special? $1.75 a beer of our choice from 5 to 10. Or close it out with open bowling all day Friday. Saturday nights come for a 3-course dinner special starting at 6 p.m. And contact us for special family bowling and birthday packages. Get the daily specials and live music schedule at DelanoLanes.com.
Spring is right around the corner, and you just remembered your trailer needs to be serviced before the season starts. Crystal Welding has you covered. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No job too small, because we do it all.
You can't choose the weather, but you can choose rain gear that works. Introducing Blackfish Technical Rainwear. Utilizing patented fabric technology, Blackfish rain suits are 100% waterproof, yet provide unmatched breathability, keeping you dry from your own perspiration. And with a limited lifetime warranty, Blackfish rain suits are built to last. When you need to stay dry and comfortable, choose Blackfish, because you can't choose the weather. Learn more at blackfishgear.com.
Hi, Jim Erickson here, and you know, I have been jealous of Neil's ice fishing trips up to Ballard's for years, but it was always during hockey season I could never go. But now, here's the trip for me, and I want you to join me on the Summer Walleye Connection, Friday, May 31st to Sunday, June 2nd, Ballard's Resort, Lake of the Woods, for only $525 per person. You get round-trip motor coach transportation, 2 nights lodging, 2 days guided walleye fishing, all meals, rods, reels, bait, tackle, ice, fish processing, sales, and lodging tax. All you need is basically you, and then, of course, some tall tales that you might tell when you get back. Again, just $525 per person. Go to BallardsResort.com, BallardsResort.com, or MyBobCountry.com. Join me on the Summer Walleye Connection, May 31st through June 2nd. Join us for some fun. I'm Jim Erickson. BallardsResort.com or MyBobCountry.com for more info. Sign up today. Registration deadline is April 20th.
Spring fever is upon us. What's up, guys? It's Elena. And with all of this fresh air comes a fresh start to dating in 2019. If you're looking to get more out of your dating app, Match is the app for you. They've been number one in first and second dates, number one in marriages, and over 1 million babies made. Plus, the Match app gives you the chance to carefully review profiles versus just quickly flipping through them. You can now view photos and read more about the people you see. Guys, Match has created millions of love stories, and you could be next. Download the Match app for free today.
You can't catering a wedding, and the bride says,
"Everyone is raving about the hors d'oeuvres. My aunt was asking if you do corporate events."
Now is the time when the right business card is essential, and Vistaprint can help. Head to Vistaprint.com, and you can customize 500 cards starting at just $9.99. You choose the paper, the shape, and the finish. Whatever your style, create a card that gives you the confidence to own the now. So head to Vistaprint.com and get 500 business cards starting at $9.99. Use promo code 5656 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 5656.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back with the Four Outdoorsmen. Hey, I'll tell you what, the first part of the show, I did not formally introduce us. Steve Strusinski, the wild card here, Stru Man, Boomer Stelmach, and Mark Lukey is here, and Brandon's behind the glass. Thanks for listening to the Four Outdoorsmen. And I think we have a guest named King Yang on. King, are you there? Maybe not.
1 second. King, are you with us?
Oh, Brandon, you're fired.
He should be there.
Brandon's
fired. The sound
fired.
Of silence.
Try again.
King, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. Welcome,
hello,
welcome
darkness,
to the Four Outdoorsmen. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited.
Hey, King, where do you? This is Steve Strusinski, the Stru Man. We spoke today. Thanks for joining us. Boomer's to my left, and of course, you just spoke with Mark Lukey, the producer of the show. Where do you live, King?
I live in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota.
All right, what is your background? I mean, now you're hunting and doing some fishing and stuff and learning all about the game right now, but what is your background?
Yeah, so I'm Hmong. So Hmong is we migrated here to Minnesota from Laos. I'm 30, and, you know, I've always been an outdoorsy person. I've always loved animals, always loved the outdoors and stuff like that. And I grew up in that Disney generation where Disney shows were the Disney movies were the things to watch, you know. So,
not Bambi, right?
Bambi for sure. I remember tearing up when Bambi's mom died. So,
hey, Kane, hang on. Were you born in this country, or did you come with your family from Laos?
My parents are from Laos, the immigrants. And then I was born in California, and I moved to Minnesota when I was 3.
All right, go ahead, Boom.
Hey, Kang, Boomer here. Thanks again for joining us tonight, man.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
So when you talked about your background, loving the outdoors, you loved the outdoors experience, but you really weren't into hunting. Is that correct?
Yes, I hated hunting. So my dad's been hunting forever, and I just remember him bringing like carcasses home, and I'm like, no, I don't want none of that, you know? I don't want to do nothing with that, so...
For sure. Well, you got my attention because I work with Travis Frank at Roundshare Productions, and I saw a Facebook post where he was at a Pheasants Forever banquet, and he was with you, and it kind of introduced you as someone who was an anti-hunter and is now an advocate for it. Can you kind of talk a little bit about maybe what changed your mind and kind of go through that process of how you kind of opened your mind up a little bit to hunting?
Yeah, no, definitely. So, you know, the reason why I got into hunting was because of my dog. I have a German wire hair. She's 2 now. And I've always loved animals. So I wanted the best for her, you know. So that pushed me into hunting. And then, you know, when I got into hunting, I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, this is like she loves it. I love it. And then, you know, digging deeper into hunting, you know, there's the conservation piece where hunters are one of the biggest contributors to conservation and providing, you know, more game for us to hunt. And that connection right there made me even more connected with, you know, starting this initiative of helping people or recruit hunters and, you know, just introducing people into the outdoors.
So, Kang, interesting. You talked about your German wire hair that got you into hunting, and I have a Springer named Luma, and she's going to be 2 years old here pretty quick, and I love watching my dogs work the field even more than harvesting a rooster. It's just kind of that sense of pride and watching them get excited. But question for you, so your wire hair got you into hunting. When you A wire hair is predominantly like an upland bird that most people buy not as a family pet, but they buy it as a family pet and as a companion in the field. Did you have that in mind when you purchased this wire hair, or did that come after the fact?
No, it came in mind when it was purchased. So her name's Kaya. My dad actually purchased her for breeding. He bought her and he said he was going to breed her when she turns when she's ready, and then he's just going to sell her. And I was like, wait, like, why are you doing this to a dog? You know, this is a dog, this is the animal, you got to take care of it. So I looked into her bloodlines, and I looked into the history of German wire hair, and I was like, well, you know, it was really interesting. So I was like, you know what, you could breed her, but let me have her, like, let me take care of her, and let me take her out, you know. So that's what happened.
Hey, Kang, this is Steve Strasinski, Strewman again. Thanks. Do me a favor, and you're coming through clearly a lot, and sometimes you're not, so make sure you're keeping your phone very quiet next to you someplace so you can speak directly into it. That'd be great for our listeners. You came here from California. Your parents took you from California to Minnesota. How old were you when that took place?
I was 3 years old.
Okay, so you were not old enough to tell your parents you thought they were crazy, right? Because... Yep. When you leave California and come to the Minnesota, it's a whole different ballgame. What brought your parents from California to Minnesota?
Family. So, you know, a lot of my dad's family, they came to Minnesota. So, you know, our culture is very family orientated.
Right.
So anything kind of goes on, we always, you know, we want to be there for each other.
All right. And you're talking about the transition from being a non-hunter to a hunter. Was there anything morally involved there that you thought it was morally not right to hunt animals, or was it just the fact that you thought it was gross seeing your old man bring a bunch of dead carcasses home?
No. I mean, there's nothing morally. I didn't see anything morally wrong with it because I knew that it was food, and I knew that you know, looking into the conservation piece, that this helps produce more and produce a steady, you know, species for us.
You bet. Good.
Gang, I have a couple questions for you. Can you tell us about your first hunting experience with your dog, what that was like? And also, something for me is, for some reason, when I was younger, you know, you always think about animals. And I got really sad the first time I killed a squirrel. I think I was 12 years old. Is it easier to transition to birds because you just don't see them as, you know, you don't see them as real animals, almost birds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. That's why I started in Upland, because a bird, I see a bird as a chicken. You know?
Yeah.
So I eat chicken constantly. You know, everybody eats chicken. So you can't, you don't have that connection where they're like, they have that mental capacity to think and to feel.
Right.
So, but yeah, my first hunting experience with my dog, it was actually pretty bad, because I didn't train her, and my dad was like, you don't need to train her. Just take her to the field, and she'll know what to do. And so, you know, we took her out, and she just stuck by my side, and she didn't go out at all. And so I'm there walking with my dog, and she's following me through these, like, tall grass fields. But, you know, when my dad's dog found a bird, that was an amazing moment that I can remember. You know, he's just locked in, and my dad says, walk up, you know, go in front of him, and I'll come behind him, and we'll shoot the bird. So we're walking in, and this bird just pops up out of nowhere, you know, and this rooster just cackles, and you're like, oh, my God, you know. And I'm like, boom, 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 like three times, and, you know, of course I miss, but, you know.
Welcome to hunting.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what really hooked me right there.
So, Kang, I know your dog got you into hunting your wire hair, and that turned into, you know, upland hunting with Kaya. Is that her name?
Yep, Kaya.
Kaya. What other hunts have you gone on now? Any other species that you've gone after?
Yep. So I just finished my first season of duck hunting, and I went with my buddies Gang Lee and Tony. You know, our first hunt was pretty horrible. We're like late to the place, you know, where there's people already all around, and we're like, all right, we'll just set up here and see if we get anything, you know. And, you know, so daybreak comes in, there's geese flying by, and we're like, can we shoot geese? Can we not shoot geese? Someone Google it, you know. And then, you know, these ducks come over our little area, you know, we get four for the day, and, you know, we're all just happy, and because this is everybody's first time. And King's dog, Copper, was, like, amazing that day with us, so.
Did you get anything on your first duck hunt?
Yep, we got four.
No, wow, no, King, hang on, back up the question here. Mark asked, did you get anything on your first hunt?
Oh, my first duck hunt?
Did you shoot a duck your first duck hunt?
Yep, I did.
Yep. Atta boy.
That's awesome.
It's already more successful than most of my duck hunts.
That's
so
right.
You're doing well.
King, what's next for you? You going to try whitetail deer hunting?
Yeah, I think what's next is for this in the coming year, just focus on waterfowl more and pheasant. And then probably the year after, get into whitetail and, you know, get into turkey and go from there.
Well, I can tell you turkey hunting, that is very addicting, because it's like deer hunting, but the turkeys are much more engaging. They talk back to you. You can talk to them. But what's cool about this story, Kang, is, you know, you went from, I'm not really into hunting, to now you're into hunting with your dog and your family. And now are you starting some type of camps or helping others get into hunting as well?
Yep. So, you know, in my second year, I brought two buddies along, Tufu and Thor, and I gave them puppies, you know, and I introduced them. And I'm like, you know, if I could do this with two people, like, why can't I do it with other people that I don't know? So I got on this app called Meetup, and I created a group called Pheasant and Duck Hunting 101. And so it's basically pretty much recruiting people to come outdoors with me. And, you know, we go from learning the hunter course, so getting the hunter course, passing that, learning how to read the DNR book on how, you know, on season dates and limits, and then, you know, take them scouting and all that stuff, you know, take them on the actual first hunt. So basically kind of like a father, what a father would teach their son. And I feel like that's really important, because a lot of hunters, you know, they learn to hunt from their father or their mother. And, you know, in order to get somebody else addicted like you need to guide them through like a father would.
You know, Kang, you've done more in hunting and conservation in the short amount of time that you've been involved in this game than I've done my entire life, and I'm not proud of saying that. But it's funny you mentioned about the conservation part of it, because it's very, very important to you, and I'm glad that it is. But are you aware, this was reported in the Outdoor News just this last week, that last year, more than 20,000 Minnesotans volunteered to help the DNR last year. That was 20,000, and the report showed that it works out to be like 136 full-time staff, and they would have saved the DNR $7.8 million in salaries just because they volunteered. All that money goes back into the state. So what you're doing, you're on the right track, and thanks for doing that.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, you know, it's something that if you're not a hunter, you will never experience. You know, I remember in duck hunting this year, we sat over this pond, and like 5 minutes before duck hunting, this group of like 25 mallards just fly in, you know, and you hear their wings beating, and they're sitting in the water like 2 feet in front of you, and your buddy's over there saying, "Can we shoot yet? Can we shoot yet?" And you're like, "Shut up," you know, like they're right in front of us. And, you know, like you'll never experience that unless you're a hunter. And I want to show the world and, you know, basically people around, you know, Minnesota that, you know, you can experience it too. And it's free, right? It's free to the public. It's public land. You just got to put in the time. So,
yeah, Kang, you know, did you have that experience duck hunting? You know, pheasant hunting, you have that anticipation. The rooster gets up, the cackling, and it's a reactionary when you bring up the shotgun, make sure it's a safe zone, make sure it's a rooster, and then you shoot, and then you see your dog get it. Whereas sometimes when you're duck hunting or even deer hunting, there's a little more anticipation to it where you see that deer or you see those ducks or you can hear the ducks whistling by you. They land in front of you a few minutes before shooting, and your heart is just going boom, 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 and you swear they can hear it. Did you have that experience duck hunting?
Oh, yeah, I did. Definitely, you know. You see these flocks just coming in. You're like, oh, my God, like, we can't, like, nobody move. Everybody shut up, you know, and your heart is just pounding. And when they do it right, like how everybody always explains it, when the ducks come in right and you shoot them and, you know, they come down, that's just a moment like you can never you can't replicate that moment.
Well,
you know?
I had a little tip I learned from Strewman one time. I know, you know, duck hunting, you know, face mask or, you know, the paint on you. But when you duck hunt with Strew, he just wears a purple Jimmy's bar hat.
That's what it works, pal. It works. Yeah. They're
just so curious that everything is camouflaged in cattails, Kane, and, you know, earthy colors. And then they see like this purple beady head sticking up. They just think there's something about a curiosity. They got to go fly by and check it out.
And all the ducks,
they think it's a mallard butt or something.
No, no, no. All the ducks I attract, they're attracted to cocktails and Jimmy's beer once in a while. So that's what we do. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Hey, yeah. I'll tell you what, Kang, thanks for joining us on the 4 Outdoors. I mean, we're going to let you go. You got to keep going. And I'll tell you what, we've got your phone number in our phones right now. We're going to stay in touch with you and see how your journey goes the rest of the year. And you've got a couple of new animals to shoot. What are
white tail hunting?
Grouse? Gonna shoot a grouse?
Yeah, no, I haven't shot a grouse yet. No, not yet.
Well, you got 2019. We're gonna follow your journey. Thanks for being part of it, and thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
Cool deal. Thanks, Kane. You support us. We support you, and good luck on your new ventures. Stay tuned. We're going to talk to friend of the show, J.R. Savad, about all the buzz this time of year on the Rainy River when you're going for walleyes, saugers, and big sturgeon.
J.R. Savad?
John Savad. You said J.R. in the text, so I figured his middle name had an R.
The 4 Outdoorsmen, just average guys that love to hunt and fish and chew the fat on Bob Outdoors.
Let's start thinking about open water, flip-flops, and sunshine. Boomer here, and my family and I have been fishing with Alumacraft boats for the past 6 years. Alumacraft boats cover the complete spectrum of fishability, whether we're catching walleyes, hooking panfish, or chasing bass. A best-in-class dry ride with Alumacraft's 2XB haul and lots of storage are just a couple of the reasons why we choose Alumacraft. To learn more about Alumacraft, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there is no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Finally, an online tackle shop built for you. OmniaFishing.com. Boomer here, and how about this? Headed to a new lake or an old favorite? With OmniaFishing.com, you simply pick your lake, the species of fish you want to catch, and OmniaFishing.com tells you the hottest lures that are working now. And it's not just Omnia Fishing's opinion. It's the local guides and pros that help with selecting the tackle for each lake. With thousands of lakes to select in Minnesota, OmniaFishing.com has you covered.
Come to Delano Lanes and Entertainment on Highway 12, just 20 minutes west of 494. Bowling with great daily specials. Start the week on a high note. How about the Monday Mystery Beer Special? $1.75 a beer of our choice from 5 to 10. Or close it out with open bowling all day Friday. Saturday nights, come for a three-course dinner special starting at 6 p.m. And contact us for special family bowling and birthday packages. Get the daily specials and live music schedule at DelanoLanes.com.
You can't choose the weather, but you can choose rain gear that works. Introducing Blackfish Technical Rainwear. Utilizing patented fabric technology, Blackfish rain suits are 100% waterproof, yet provide unmatched breathability, keeping you dry from your own perspiration. And with a limited lifetime warranty, Blackfish rain suits are built to last. When you need to stay dry and comfortable, choose Blackfish, because you can't choose the weather. Learn more at blackfishgear.com.
Calling Minnesota youth between the ages of 8 and 17, you could win a chance to join the 2019 Governor's Fishing Opener festivities in the Elbert Lee Lakes area. Visit outdoornews.com/kidsopenercontest for details. It's easy to enter. Just tell us in 50 words or less why you want to fish the 2019 opener. Two winners will be selected and you get to bring an adult with you to fish the opener too. Contest winners will enjoy two nights lodging, fishing the opener, and the chance to experience the official festivities of the 2019 Minnesota Governor's Fishing Opener, thanks to sponsors including the Elbert Lee CVB, Explore Minnesota, Bob FM, and Outdoor News. The Kids Opener Contest ends April 27th, so enter online at outdoornews.com/kidsopenercontest. Then stay tuned to Outdoor News Radio for our live broadcast during the Governor's Fishing Opener event on May 11th. We'll see you at the opener.
April 15th. April 15th. You have to get your taxes filed by April 15th. So, I'm going to make it easy for you. Go to TaxSlayer.com. No, not tomorrow or this weekend. Do it today. TaxSlayer was highest rated for best value, maximum refund, and ease of use. You can file your taxes fast at TaxSlayer.com and have your refund back sooner. The tax deadline is near, and TaxSlayer is here to help you file by April 15th. So get started today at TaxSlayer.com.
Introducing the new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's. It comes with a new bacon double stack made with a quarter pound of fresh, never frozen beef and topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon. Plus four nuggets, fries, and a drink all for just $5. That's right. Just $5. The new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's is everything you could ever want. Well, at least for lunch. Try Wendy's new $5 Biggie Bag today. Biggie Bag includes four-piece nuggets, small fries, and a small drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Approximate weight before cooking. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back. Before we get to John Savat, good friend of ours, John Savat, we're going to talk about our sponsors.
J.R. Savat?
J.R. Savat, yeah.
Hey,
Who killed J.R.? Is that what it was?
Let's start with the Alumacraft boats. My family's been with Alumacraft for the last 7 to 8 years. Best dry riding boat in the market. Can't wait to get it out there for this upcoming April and March. Plenty of storage and lots of water that does not go in the boat and gets you wet. And then Omnia Fishing. Omnia Fishing is like your local bait store, but it's online. You pick the species of fish you want to target, the lake you want to target, the technique you got going on. And now Omnia Fish, it's their final day. They got a big spring sale going on. Save 25% on all line, 30% off on tungsten jigs and ice fishing. Make sure you take advantage of that today.
How do you know all that stuff?
Because I read my notes. And Heath's Resorts, we're going to be headed up there. A new sponsor up there on the Whitefish chain. Had a chance to be a part of the Alumacraft photo shoot up there and did a little fishing and had a blast catching some walleyes, big bass, and big pike.
Blackfish Performance Wear. They got soft shell. I'll tell you what, but what's cool about Blackfish, brand new technical Blackfish rainwear. I've got, as a matter of fact, I was at Fleet Farm a couple of days ago. Saw a whole bunch of Blackfish outerwear. They're great shirts. I love Blackfish. And Devil's Lake Tourism. Devil's Lake is our premier sponsor. I'll tell you what, 24 hours a day, 15-pound fish, all kinds of stuff. But Devil's Lake is the bucket list for everybody.
What's the slot limit on walleye?
There is no slot
that
limit.
That a boy.
Five, yeah, you know the whole thing. But
five
Devil's,
a day with a two-day
Devil's
possession.
Devil's Lake. Go ahead, boom, Marky.
We have one more shout-out to get to here. Jeremiah Davis says, nature walk today with the kids. He's got a great picture of, looks like a skeleton of a whitetail. That's a cool find.
A skeleton?
Out in the field.
Cool.
Oh, speaking of Devil's Lake, I watched online the world or the walleye tour last year on Devil's Lake. The whole episode is on YouTube, and I watched the whole thing, and it was really awesome. That young kid we had on.
Dylan Nussbaum from Pennsylvania.
Awesome. Go check that out on YouTube. It was a fun show to watch.
Yeah, he caught some pig walleyes.
Cool. Well, introduce our next guest to your Strew Man.
I'm too busy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Boomer?
All right. That wraps it up for the Four Outdoorsmen. Hey, John Savat, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, how are you guys, Mark? Boomer.
You know what? We'd be doing better if we were on the Rainy River with you. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really busy. Our aluminum craft is full.
You guys don't know John Savat, but we met him up at Sandpine.
We had him at Sandpine Pheasants. Bob Country and the Four Outdoorsmen participate in the
Reaching for Resources.
Yes, and raised over $40,000. And part of that is you get to hunt with some of the Bob Country and Four Outdoorsmen folks, and you get a guided hunt. And our guide was the one and only John Savat, who was just a hoot. And he's been a friend of the show ever since. He's got a great place on Vermilion that we're going to be crashing here sometime soon.
Yeah.
And he was a big supporter of the Sportsman's Dinner that Strew always has out there.
Had a lot of fun. The Wildwood Lions Sportsman's Dinner. Yes, he was a nice supporter for that. And I'll tell you what, I like John because not only was a great guy, took care of us up there at Sandpine, got a couple of good dogs, but he's crazier and sicker in the head than I am.
And
so
he
that's
gave
why
us some great tips with Luma, so I really appreciate that leash.
No, you are one sandwich short of a picnic basket, pal. Hey, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen. Happy spring.
Yeah, we're ready. Hey, tell us now. You just came back from Rainy Lake. John goes
Rainy
all
River.
Over, Rainy River. He goes all over the place. He travels a lot, and he hosts a lot of the big celebrities as well. But you just came back from Rainy River. Tell us what happened on Rainy River the last couple of days.
Well, I got to correct you, Sue. We were at we haven't been to the Rainy River yet.
Oh.
I just talked to my people up there. The Rainy River is open, and we're getting ready to sturgeon fish at the Little Fork and the Big Fork rivers that feed the Rainy River just broke up like 2 days ago. So there's a lot of stuff coming down the river. It makes it a little harder to fish. So we're going to wait probably about another 5 days, and then we're headed that way.
So you've done this a couple of times before up there?
Oh, we've been up there many, many years. Sometimes I guess the best day we ever had, we put 15 sturgeon in the boat. And the worst day we ever had was a nice day fishing, and we didn't get any.
That a boy.
John, when you go up there, I've been up there a few times as well. Do you just target sturgeon, or do you go after some of the big walleyes and saugers?
You know, we're waiting for open lakes to go after the walleyes. I did catch a 32-inch walleye up there on 80-pound Kevlar line and a 60. Yeah, it was like pulling in a boot full of water. It was horrible.
Wow, a 32-incher. That's a lifetime fish right there.
An 80-pound test line, right?
No, it was 80-pound Kevlar line.
Wow.
We were fishing for sturgeon, and, of course, I catch a walleye.
So, John, talk about sturgeon fishing because it is really fun, and it just came up when Nicole and I spoke at Cambridge High School. Some folks were asking me questions about it, and I remember the first time I went out there, and, you know, at least what I was taught about sturgeon fishing up there is it's the spot on the spot. So when you're using your electronics and what I thought were logs because, you know, they were these horizontal lines were actually sturgeon sitting in the bottom of this hole. Talk about how you guys approach sturgeon fishing and what you use and good stuff.
You know, what we generally do, about 2 weeks ago, we got together and poured weights. And we pour between 2 ounce and 6 ounce weights. And it's basically like a Lindy rig you put on the bottom with probably a 4 foot leader and 3 night crawlers and a couple of dead smelt on the bottom. And you just throw them all out to the back of the boat. And, you know, hopefully you'll catch fish. But what we try to do is we try to find the lowest spot that we can find in the river on the United States side as well.
Yeah, yeah, that was tricky. I remember when I was up there, I was constantly coached on making sure you stay on the Minnesota side. But, John, you talked about that weight that you actually use because it's a river and water is flowing and you're trying to keep your bait somewhat consistent to the area where the sturgeon are. That weight shape is unique in itself. It almost looks like a teardrop, correct?
Correct. And then some of them now almost look flat. What we decided is because the current is so strong up there, sometimes we wanted our weight to lay flat on the bottom completely. The teardrop kind of digs into the mud. The flat totally, then we can go with a couple less ounces to get to the same 29, 30 feet of water, that type of thing.
And John, you talked about that gob of night crawlers. We were using circle hooks that we actually didn't set. And then we would have a big, heavy rod, you know, 50-pound test, and with that circle hook and the weight and a whole gob of night crawlers on there. And then, like, a big, heavy-duty bait caster with the drag really open. So we would just let it sit there. And then when it was tick, 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 we just picked up the rod and started reeling and then getting ready for the fight of a lifetime.
It's unbelievable. If a lot of freshwater anglers should make a trip out of sturgeon fishing, you won't be sorry. We boated last year a 69-inch one, and wow. it was like a fire drill in our boat. We're trying to, you know, get to the musky net, and you can't pick it up by the handle. Of course, you got to get the fish in there and have two guys on each side pick it up by the frame.
You know, you and Boomer describing the equipment you're using. A guy like me, who's got a body like Pee Wee Herman, I would get tired just bringing in the sinker and the, you know, that's sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, it's not really that much work, Stu. We could talk you through it.
All right, give me a shot. All right.
I'll tell you what's more work, John, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, is actually trying to hold that sturgeon for a picture because they're just a pure mass of muscles and their skin is sleek, almost like a shark.
Yeah, and the bigger the sturgeon gets, when they start out real small, they have this real jagged spine on them, and it keeps other fish away from them. But this one that we pulled in the boat was smooth and unbelievably powerful. It was about 100 pounds, we thought.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you're going to be going up to Rainy Lake, or Rainy River, in a couple of weeks here, I guess, to do your deal. But let's talk about, I made a mistake. I think you were someplace last week and talked about going out somewhere in a 1955 Bombardier. Was that Lake of the Woods?
That was Lake of the Woods.
All right, tell us the story about last week. What was going on last week?
Well, it was the week before last, but yes, we went out and rented a place for 3 nights and 3 days at Dale's Resort up there off Gull Point or Gull Rock, and we had an amazing. They wouldn't let us out with the trucks, but Dale put us in a 1956 Bombardier.
My gosh.
Three guys in all our gear, and it was a blast. This thing could go 20, 25 miles an hour still, and he has it all painted up in purple, by the way, same color as your hat.
That's almost 70 years old, this thing, whatever he's talking about, and it's still running.
Yeah, it was beautiful, and he must have taken hours to put this back together. The only thing that concerned us is the escape hatches were open on the way out and on the way back in.
You know, John, that reminds me of some of the vehicles we traveled in about a month ago for Ice Team University. I was up there for 5.5 days up at Arneson's on Rocky Point. And one of the interesting facts, Joe Henry spoke from Lake of the Woods Tourism, is that at one point commercially, Lake of the Woods was one of the largest sources of caviar because caviar is actually eggs from sturgeon. There is a season where people do keep sturgeon, but I don't hear of a lot of them doing that. But when is that season?
That season starts on the 29th, I believe, of April and goes through the 7th. You can keep one. So you have to buy a permit. And I don't quote me on those days, but I think I'm very close. A permit, you can keep one sturgeon between 45 and 50 inches long.
Man, how would you clean a sturgeon? Yeah, John, what shell?
Are they using it for the caviar, or what are they doing when they harvest the sturgeon?
Yeah, we're gonna smoke them.
Oh, okay.
But, and it's
awesome. It's very, very good meat.
Do you have to crack their shell like a crab? Or, you know, they have kind of a bony exterior, obviously. How do you get through that?
No, you kind of, you almost steak them out.
Okay.
Yeah. So we get them in steak-like form, and then we smoke them from there. And that's very, very good flavor. It's not fishy at all, but rather smoky. Yeah, it's really pretty good. The biggest thing I thought sturgeon fishing was, oh boy, we'll get one on for four people. But it's really interesting because we draw cards and you pick one through four, and then four gets to go again after. And so you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1. So everybody's rooting for everyone else to get their sturgeon in so it can be their turn up.
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
And it's so fun because, you know, Boomer, when you hook one of those, you feel a couple of tail pumps, and that's about it. They don't come up.
No.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, too, because when you sturgeon fish up there on the Rainy, sometimes, John, you know the story, it gets a little bit of bumper boats, and you can always tell when someone has a sturgeon on the line because they're standing up and they got a nice tall rod, you know, these 7-8 foot rods, and that rod is bent over like a half moon, and you can just see the experience that they're having with that sturgeon on the other end of the hook.
It's unbelievable. You know, if we've run into the bumper boat situation, especially at the mouth of the river, in that case, we generally go up the river a couple miles, because then you can be by yourself or very close to by yourself when everyone else is fighting each other. So, you know, we're not, and we do just as well fishing. You know, we compare notes on the way on the next day, and we do as well as the ones sitting on the edge of the ice, because you're right, Boomer, they can be boat after boat after boat.
Hey, John, you've caught a few sturgeon in your life, obviously, all open water, but you had to have heard and have been amazed about that young man on the St. Croix River caught that 86-inch sturgeon, whatever it was, 83-inch sturgeon through the ice, where they had to cut the holes three or four times. Can you picture catching that through the ice?
I wouldn't even, if I looked down the hole and I saw that, I would just say, you know what? I'm going to play this as long as I can, but this I'm never going to get this through there.
Hey, Johnny Boy, appreciate having you on the 4 Outdoorsman. You're a great friend of ours, and if you support us, we'll support you. We will see you soon. We're going to get up to your place on Lake Vermilion, a beautiful Lake Vermilion. Say hi to Gene, and we'll talk to you in a couple of days, and maybe you and Jeannie can take my wife and me to that little Greek place on Counter Road and have another gyro sandwich. Is that what they call those, gyros?
Gyro, I believe.
Gyro?
Gyros.
Yeah. Gyro.
Gyro, I don't know, but anyway. Take care of yourself, John, and say hi to Gene for us, would you?
See you guys. Have fun.
All right, take care, buddy.
John, thanks. He's great guy. He's a hoot.
And he's always on the move, man. He's a great, 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 great friend of mine. Hey, I'll tell you what, thanks for listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen, Boomer, Strewman, Lukey. Who knows what's happening, but join us next Easter as well. Have a great week, and in the meantime, Boomer's got something to say.
Yeah, don't forget to tune in to the Hall of Famers up next. Call in to Bear Facts and Fishtails at 763-450-0100.
And
get outdoors.
Bob Outdoors continues with Hall of Fame fisherman Mark Fisher and Larry Bowling on Bear Facts and Fishtails next.